Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20. Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's CYMBIOTIKA.com, code START.
And it takes a knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All righty, welcome back. BT and Sal on The Fan. We are live at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation, Sleepy Hollow Country Club. We got a lot to talk about, and we're now joined by Joe and his lovely wife, Allie, the co-founders of the Safe at Home Foundation, which is an amazing cause. Guys, how you doing today? First of all, thanks for having us. How are you?
We're doing very well. I love the weather. It's overcast. It's perfect for golf and perfect for baseball, I think. I
mean, and Allie was saying she just got off the DL, a little meniscus issue, so she's not going to be striping it 300 yards off the tee, but a little chipping and putting for the lady today, huh, Al?
Very exciting. Very exciting. Thank you for being here with us today.
Yes, it is our pleasure. Now, Joe, it's... depending upon how old you are, I don't remember you. I'm a little bit too young to have watched you manage the Mets, but of course, I know the
That's
path.
That's sickening. And
I know, well. You know.
I'm leaving right
now. Yeah, I got you. I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, come on, BT. You're well over 50.
I am. I'm 51. I just, I don't know.
It was like our daughter was born in December of 95, you know, and we won the World Series in 96, 98, yep. 99, 2000. She doesn't remember any of that stuff.
None of that. You
know? I wish I could forget that myself.
Well, he's got the rings, by the way. You already busted. What was that, 98, Rob? Was
96.
That the 96. Oh, that was the 96 team. I was going to say, let me just finish that thought. Like, when the Mets and the Yankees play now, I said to Sal yesterday, like, I guess I'm a little desensitized to it because, you know, since 97, we've seen a lot of it, even though it's still fun. But when they play each other, how do you, I mean, it's both of your teams. I mean, is it fun for you?
It's fun for me. I mean, I'll always be grateful to the Mets because that's where it started for me managing. You know, I'm not sure if any other organization would have taken a chance on somebody that hasn't managed in the minor leagues. And so I just felt very, very blessed. And what's interesting, it was in 76 when I was a player there. I remember Joe McDonald, who was the general manager.
Jody Mac's dad, yeah, of course.
Coming up to me and say, how would you like to go to the Yankees?
Wow.
And before I jumped at that, because I said, yeah, that'd be great, because I'd never been to a World Series, and, you know, they may be headed that way. I said, but in the event that you ever make a change here, you know, I'd like to be considered, you know, on that list. And I remember going in and talking to M. Donald Grant and saying the same thing. I said, yeah, it'd be great to go to the Yankees, but in the event you ever make a change, I'd like to be on that list that you consider to be manager. And the deal never happened, obviously. Now, I don't know if what I said to him, mm-hmm. you know, had anything to do with the deal not happening, but that I felt was interesting. But there I was. All of a sudden I went from player to manager overnight.
And now guys get manager jobs out of the broadcast booth. They don't even manage anywhere, and they become managers. It's just the way of the game. Obviously a legendary manager. Subway Series, you were there, the beginning of it. You were there at World Series, all those different things. The Mets have only swept the entire season series twice. 2013, after you were there, and then this year. If this type of beatdown were to happen from the Mets taking care of the Yankees while you were the manager with the prior owner, how do you think that that would be going over in Yankee land today or last night?
Well, on both sides, because I was on both sides. You know, we play like a Mayor's Trophy game.
Yep.
And it was always, you know, you have to pitch Seaver, you know, and stuff like
Jeez.
That. It was always a necessity. But for sure, I mean, that was embarrassment for George. I remember my first year in spring training, and, you know, the end of spring training, we're going to play the Mets, you know, three-game series or whatever it is. And then we were going to open the season in Cleveland. And George came into my office, and he said, you know, this is a must. You know, we got to play them. I said, let me ask you something, George. And I'm just playing at this point. I said, if you had a choice of beating the Mets 2 out of 3 or beating Cleveland 2 out of 3, which one would you pick? He said to me, don't ask me that question.
Wow.
I knew I was in trouble at that point in time for that Mets series.
Oh, my goodness.
There does seem to be, though, Joe, a lack of accountability with the Yankees. Now, I'm not saying that Steinbrenner did it the right way and overreacting to regular season games, a long season, but this is an embarrassment. The Yankees have been one of the worst teams in baseball for the better part now of 7 weeks. The Mets wiped the floor with them over the course of those 4 games. And it just feels like, oh, well, status quo, we'll be fine. We're only a game and a half out, and everything's going to be okay. Where the old days were a lot different than that. At least it feel like there should be some accountability for getting beat down to that point that the Yankees have gotten beat down by the Mets this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, Cole pitched last night. I mean, it's not like you're not trying. And, you know, if you have to really gain perspective here by saying it's 162 games. And, yeah, I mean, you hate to lose to the crosstown rivals. There's no question. There's a certain embarrassment to that. Not that they're not a good team and they're not capable, but, you know, head-to-head, and, you know, you're the Yankees.
Yep.
And it's always been that way. When we in 2000, I mean, that was pressure personified. I mean, you'd go out and drop off your dry cleaning. They're talking about the World Series and so you couldn't hide from it. And, of course, George. And you know, I don't know if we were better as far as ability-wise of that, you know, than that Mets team. But it was for sure. I mean, you remember in 2000, George had all our furniture moved from Yankee Stadium to Shea Stadium because he wanted us to feel at home. It was a little crazy, but you know, you got used to it by that time.
For sure. So I definitely want to talk about the foundation. It's BT and Sal. We are at Sleepy Hollow Country Club. And let's get Allie into the conversation, who's been your rock for a long time. Which was more apparent to you as his wife? Joe coming in after a win, being happy, or Joe coming in after a loss, being maybe distracted or maybe mentally somewhere else? How did he carry those losses?
Well, it's always much more fun to win. There's no doubt about that. But I think by the time he managed the Yankees overall, it was not too high and too low. And I think he kept that in perspective of the long season. Now, there are days in between that were more challenging than others. And there was one particular game that he came home. It was early on in his managing. And I watched a lot of the games, obviously, and I'm a fan, and had watched him manage the other teams that he was with. And he asked me about a decision that he had made.
Okay.
And, of course, I tell him the truth. And yeah,
she had that bad habit of telling me.
Yeah, what wife does it, Joe?
And I really wasn't second-guessing. I was thinking of that at the time. I was like, oh, I wonder why he did that. You know, and then I asked him, and he was pretty angry with me then.
Wow. Do you remember what player was involved? Do you remember the situation?
A-Rod batting eighth?
I think it was probably St. Louis.
I think it was like whether it was a hit and run or a steal or whatever.
Got
one
it.
Of those. And it was very funny. So I realized, okay, that is not something I'm going to do going forward. So I let him come, and I let him just, you know, kind of just relax, really detox, not detox, but
decompress,
you know,
a little
decompress
bit
after a game. And it was, you know, much more.
That's a funny story.
Yeah, the game, I mean, to me, you know, somebody said, do you miss managing? I said, you know, you watch it and you sort of manage along. But when you look at the big picture and it's 24 hours a day for, you know, really 12 months, because you're always thinking of how you, what you can do better and what player may help and all that. So, and mix in the travel. And it's pretty exhausting. I know when I managed the WBC back in 13, which was cool. You know, it sort of reminded me, you know, of getting your grandkids, you know, and then after a couple of weeks, you send them home to their parents.
Yeah, good riddance.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know? But I loved it. I mean, I lived it. You know, I always said about baseball, you don't play it or manage it, you love it, and you're in it. You live it, and it's I feel very blessed to, you know, have loved it from a kid and have been able to have my whole career surrounded by that.
And it's loved you back. It's treated you very well. Joe, what are the players, you know, obviously WFAN, we can get very micro talking about certain players almost every day. I'm very curious how you answer this, because I like Aaron Boone. I know he's a great baseball man, multiple generations. I think he's fiery with the umpires. I do appreciate that. And I've defended him a lot, and I think he's done a good job. But one of my biggest knocks is somebody like Gleyber Torres, okay? When you get a young player and you see early signs, I don't want to say laziness, that's not fair, but maybe a level of indifference with certain things or a distraction, as we've seen a lot from Gleyber Torres, to me, it's gone relatively unchecked. And then what you have is somebody who's 26, 27, 28, and they're so deep into their career, you can't really change them because you've allowed them to become that player. How would you have handled somebody like Torres differently? Because to me, he's supremely confident and supremely gifted, but he's a problem. How do you handle somebody in the modern day?
You know, I think you got to, you know, you handle players differently. And when I say that, they're not all the same, so you can't really treat them all the same. You try to treat them all fairly, but you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You know, you may be sitting there, you know, in your seat and say, you know, you got to do something about this guy, but you don't know if he hasn't done something about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Booney doesn't miss anything, you know, and he understands what's necessary to go out on the field and not necessarily win, but get the effort on a regular basis. And, you know, to me, it's depending on the player. You know, if I had some issues with players, again, nobody would know about it outside of our clubhouse, because I always tried to keep everything inside. It's a little tougher now with social media.
Yep.
There's no question. And again, I never told players that they couldn't say this or say that. I just like to say, guys, it's, you know, it's our family. We play for each other. We play for each other's respect. And, you know, I'm not going to go out there and talk about stuff that I felt shouldn't be talked about. But, you know, it's tough. You get 25, well, now 26 players, and I think it's important to have a sense of how you would approach each player. And I know Booney, as you mentioned, you know, his grandfather played, his father played, his brother, obviously, and he knows what needs to be done. Again, you've got something there now that I never had, and that was the analytics.
Mm.
And, you know, to me, I think there's a certain neutering of the manager with the analytics, mm-hmm. because that takes a little of the instinctive value of a manager out of play.
What is the manager's job in today's game then? Like, what's the most important thing? And for you, it was a lot of different things. Managing these players, you said, the clubhouse and in-game strategy and all that. I'm not saying you didn't use any information that you would be given.
Right.
But now it just seems like I call Boone, you know, kind of jokingly, a data applicator. What are these managers doing in today's game?
I think they're all different. I think depending on what your you know, your team, your general manager, what you agree on. I don't really think that, at least the general managers I know, I don't think they completely shut down their manager. I think there are certain things you want to make sure they're aware of. And, you know, changing pitchers especially seems to be something that everybody is tuned in on, except if it's a Cole or somebody like that. But I think the managers out there, not all of them, but I think a good number of them still have the ability to, you know, to have a reaction and use their instincts. Because to me, if we don't allow these managers to use their instincts, I think we're missing out on.
I couldn't agree more. It's only going in the wrong direction. Right. BT and Sal, of course, Joe and Ali Torrey with us here. We are at Sleepy Hollow.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful, too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Country Club for the Safe at Home Foundation, great fundraiser which promotes children's safety, well-being, hope for their future by providing healing services and education to end the cycle of violence and save lives. You guys have been immersed in this and at the forefront of this for a long time. So, Ali, what, first of all, and I want to get to a couple of other things, and then we'll wrap it up. Joe Torre, of course, with us, and Ali, as I said, like, what is this day? What is this event? What does this week mean to you?
Well, it's wonderful. Like, it's our 20th golf outing. We've been doing this work for 23 years. We missed a couple of years with COVID, and so to have everyone come together and support us on this initiative for a program that's developed over the years that is having a great impact on our communities. Here in Westchester County, we have programs. We also have programs in the Metro New York area, in addition to Los Angeles and even Tahiti. So it's growing.
Wow.
And we have an incredible team of programming staff that are supportive. And in the beginning, our goal was to really focus on children with the belief that children and our youth can be part of this solution, and they have not let us down. It's very inspiring. I think about it. We serve close to 30,000 students a day, or a year. I'm sorry. And so the multiplying effect on that of these ambassadors that are going out into their communities and giving that message of being respectful and how to understand and cope with certain situations that they've had to experience that cause a lot of distraction and devastation, really, in our families, in our communities. So it's around us always, and so we're just doing our little niche, and just, you know, we keep at it, and I think we're having an effect. And you know, we just, our children and our youth can teach a lot of our leaders and all of us how to be more respectful, how to talk to one another, and that's our goal.
Yeah, you know, Brandon, I had very low self-esteem as a kid growing up because my dad was abusing my mom, and I, for some reason, thought I was responsible, and nobody, I didn't share it with any of my friends, and these are the messages we send to these kids. It's not your fault, and you're not the only one going through this. But what concerns me more than anything right now is our society. We have an angry society out there. And I had the good fortune to have the ability to play baseball. So I had a place to hide. A lot of these kids go out there, you know, when they go through school and you know, now they go out there, and if they're, have low self-esteem, they're going to be easy to put their arm around, hey, come with me, and you could be led in the wrong direction. And what Margaret's Place has done, you know, it's, he's taken these kids, and by the time, you know, they go through Margaret's Place and spend some time there, you know, we make them realize that their future has a chance to be brighter than when they first came in there.
Was that a tough place for you to get to? Because you probably suppressed that for a long time. Just play baseball, bury it somewhere in the deepest recess of your mind. How did you tap into that?
And I'll tell you, Brandon, I went through my baseball career. If we lost a ball game, I'd always find a way to blame myself for not being able to do more.
So it extended to other aspects of life.
It extended through
my
baseball career. You know, luckily I had more good days than bad days. But there was, I always, you know, I was basically high-low, you know, depending on how you did.
Okay.
And it wasn't until, you know, right before we came to the Yankees that when Allie was pregnant with our daughter, and we were living in Cincinnati because I had gotten fired in St. Louis, and we moved to Cincinnati because that's Allie's hometown. And I knew if I was looking for a job that she'd have support there from a family. And she said, you want to go to this seminar with me? And this was like November of 95. And, you know, being 8 months pregnant, I wasn't going to say no to anything she asked me to do.
Yeah.
And so we went to this seminar, which was a four-day seminar. And when I walked through the door, I said, oh, God, I'm not sure I'm going to like this. You know, it was sort of a self-help. If you were going to try to quit smoking or things like that, and mm-hmm. they split us up. We weren't in the same group. But day two or three, there was a speaker that I was present at that struck a nerve with me and connected the dots and realized that I wasn't born with low self-esteem and I wasn't born a nervous kid. It was the fact that what my dad was doing in the house that created these things. And with that, I mean, I stood up in front of all these perfect strangers and everybody, you know, I just named manager of the Yankees. And I'm crying my eyes out. And when we came to New York, Allie said, what charity you want to get involved with? Because every place we've been, we always involved a charity that had children. And I said, how about domestic violence? And then, you know, Allie did some research and, you know, she made the decision to do it through education. Because mm-hmm. if you're going to try to end the cycle of domestic violence, you have to do it through education. And so that's where we kicked it off. I went to a middle school when we were first starting out, and we had a camera crew following us. And I'm talking to the kids, and I said, we'll talk baseball in a second, but let me explain what this camera crew is doing here. And I, you know, explained what my dad did to my mom, and I looked out, and there were probably six or eight kids going like this. Mm-hmm. So you realize you struck a nerve, and there's the, you know, and we know what we do works, and that's the reassuring part of it.
How much of a better manager do you think you became once you accepted that and figured everything out?
Sal, that's a great question, because I think you had a little more of a sensitivity on what players, and you can identify players that may have had some issues in the past. So I think it helped my communication skills with players. That's a great question.
And obviously a legendary manager. Now, one player that you did have some issues with, and I hate to even bring this up, especially off of that, but we did have David Wells on earlier in the week. I know you know about this already. Let us play this clip for you. I asked him about how he felt after he got traded. And then there's a little exchange that he had with BT when we had him on earlier in the week. I'd love to get your reaction to it. Go ahead, guys.
You know, I felt like I was a fan favorite. But, you know, it was just, I think it was Joe Torre because he didn't like me at all, you know, back then. He might like me now. I don't know. I don't have any resentment now. I mean, I like Joe, but as a manager, I didn't think he was a great manager because he didn't treat everybody the same way.
I got to defend our boy Torre a little bit. Now, I obviously wasn't there.
Go ahead.
All right, so, I mean, but you brought half the problems out upon yourself. Let's call it for what it is.
What did I do?
Well, you tell me. You've written about it.
Oh, he did, but he did
showed
pitch,
up late.
He pitched his ass off.
You're pain in the ass to Torre. Come on. I mean, it doesn't seem like, and Dave, I love you, by the way, but it doesn't seem like you ever you accept any responsibility when it comes to the Joe Torre stuff. Like, it's all Joe's fault. Nobody else says that about Joe Torre but you.
Because Joe Torre, hey, I could get a handful of guys that could do that feel the same way about me. Hmm. Feels the same that I do about Joe. But that's the thing. I went out and won. That's all I did. All I cared about was winning, you know, and protecting my teammates. They get hit, I'm drilling the next guy.
Yes.
That's what it is. But when you have to take the team flight on a day game and a day game the next day, but then you get Andy and Jor and Clemens fly 2 days earlier ahead. What does that tell you?
Okay, so there's David Walsh.
Who's on that last part?
Basically, that I guess you kind of stretch the rules, and they could fly a day early.
We left it to the pitcher, but we always sent them ahead. The situation, David and I, he'd always when we get together now, you know, he'd always say, "I drove you nuts, right?" You know, as he said, we like each other now. He was a pain in the ass. There's no question about it. But it was nothing that I'm saying behind his back. But I had nothing to do with as far as, you know, getting rid of him. I mean, we made a deal for Roger Clemens. But I don't know how to respond to it. I know I didn't treat everybody the same, but I already told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just jump in? So when you asked, like, what was it like when he came home, mm-hmm. and throughout his career, as long as we've been together, there was always one or two players that, you know, it's hard. You know, different personalities, you don't always click, and so he would vent about that, and it would be entertaining for me. Who is this?
And maybe not for him.
And actually, how do I, and like some of the conversation would be, well, how do I engage him? How do I understand, like, where is he coming from? Mm-hmm. And I will give Joe credit. After he went through life success and he started the healing process of talking about his past, he really became a lot more mature on that whole relationship and really understanding, okay, he's a pain in the ass, he's saying, but why? And so in our schools, we have students that come and they're acting out, for example, and you know, the teacher might just send them to the principal's office, but we at Safe at Home say, why? Why is he acting out? Why is he not coming to school? For example, this little boy, he was doing really great in school. He wasn't showing up. And finally, when we got into the bottom of it, he was staying home to protect his mom, who was being beaten by her husband. So, like, these are reality. Everybody has baggage that they're bringing with them. So, this is sometimes, like, anyway, different personality challenges, I think.
You know, I always tried to give players, you know, how can you become the best you can be? One of the things, and I always had a rule in the clubhouse, if you guys can get together on one type of music, you can play it for everybody. If you can't, you have to have a headset on and play what you, you know, listen to what you want to play.
Okay.
So he came in my office one day, and he likes this acid rock. And I said, if you can get these guys out there to say it's okay on the day you pitch to do that, that's fine. And and that's what we had. You know, we had his, you know, his music playing loud throughout the clubhouse because I needed everybody to understand why we're doing it. So that was fine. But I don't remember treating him any differently other than, you know, dealing with him as he was. But he was tough. There was no question. He was a good pitcher, big game pitcher. Mm. Anything more than that, you know, he did make it tough on me, and we've talked about that, and we do get along now.
Mm-hmm.
But one time I took him out of a game in Texas where he had a big lead, and he was really having trouble out there, and I took him out of the game before the fifth inning.
Mm.
And I was really angry with him, and he was angry with me. And David Cohen got us together to talk about it. And we had a conversation, and I agreed not to get somebody up in the bullpen quickly when he's pitching.
Wow.
And he agreed to understand, you know, my position.
Wow, okay.
You know, that was one.
So Coney the mediator.
One
there you
thing.
Go.
Coney was great.
Yeah, he's the best.
And
Coney.
He and David were very close.
They still are.
Yeah.
What was
very
the problem
close.
There? What, somebody warming up would bother him?
I guess. If he looked down the bullpen and he was in a little trouble and he saw somebody, That told him that I didn't have confidence.
Dave, that's baseball. I mean, you lose the strike zone, you got to pick up the phone and get somebody to get
again,
loose.
But again, if this is going to make him better, willing to do it. And
Joe, I had to stand up for you. I will not tolerate any Joe Torre slander, especially when it's not accurate. And again, I think all Yankee fans love David Wells. All Yankee fans revere you. But to me, it was just a misrepresentation of what went down, and there was more to that. It was a good, healthy exchange, and I really do like David, but I had to tell him, like, no, the reason why you guys knocked heads is because you were a pain in the ass. Mariana wasn't coming home at 5 in the morning. Derek Jeter wasn't showing up. I'm not talking out of school. We said this stuff, and it's been in books. Derek's not coming to the clubhouse, maybe hungover. I mean, you brought this upon yourself, and I thought it was unfair what he said about you.
I had three guys that I think publicly, everybody knew I had issues with. One was...
Which team, Joe? I can help you out. With the Yanks?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Give me the pitchers, all right?
Not Graham Lloyd, not Jeff Nelson. Not
Kevin Brown.
Okay, Nelly.
Jeff Nelson.
Okay.
Leiritz.
Yeah.
And Wells.
Hey, Leiritz had a big bomb for you, though.
That you had issues with?
I had some issues with.
Okay.
They all left.
Yeah.
They all came back.
That's right.
That's okay.
That is right.
So, to me... You know, they looked around and say that wasn't too bad after all. And they came back. So,
well,
a couple of them are going to be here today, I believe.
I hope so. Nelly's going to be here today. Yeah.
And Leiritz, I saw, is here.
And Leiritz is here. Your boy Starks is here. Bazilli is here.
Yeah. How about Starks? Is he top notch? You talk about a guy who all he did was be a great player and
put his heart out there.
All kinds of class.
Yeah. Right? That's what we love in New York, because you know, you put your heart out there, that's all that matters.
Guys, we could do this all day. Unfortunately, we can't. You've got to cruise around the course. Al, you got to knock in that little sandwich from about, 37, 40 yards.
Really good with the short iron.
All right. It is a pleasure. It is an honor. Thank you so much for the invitation. The charity is just amazing. The Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation. Joe and Ali Torre, thank you guys very much.
FAN, you guys have been on deck for us every single year.
That's
and
right.
I really appreciate it.
You got it, Skip. Thank you very much. Ali, good seeing you again.
Thank you. You too.